All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together. And look there at verse 22. Well, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it.
This morning I want you to consider the sustaining power of hope. The sustaining power of hope. Verse 24 said, we are saved by hope. Now, first we need to understand what Paul meant when he said we're saved by hope. The word saved here does not refer to your spiritual salvation from sin. It is not the same meaning as we find in Ephesians 2:8 when the Bible says we are saved by grace through faith. That is eternal salvation from hell, eternal salvation from the penalty of our sin is by God's grace through my personal faith in Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so my salvation is not a hope so maybe at the end of the line I'll be saved, but it's a definite fact because of God's grace through my faith in His Son for salvation. In verse 24, Paul is using the word saved in connection with those who already are saved from their sins. He said, we are saved by hope. Now, the whole chapter is for those who are in Christ Jesus and no longer under condemnation. We find the meaning of saved here in the immediate context of the verse. Verse 22, it says, we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, what that means is that here we are as God's born-again people. We live in a world filled with sorrow and pain and difficulty. Someone has said that if pain was water, the earth would drown as it did in the days of Noah. Pain surrounds us. The whole creation groans and travails together. It bears the imprint and the scars of sin. And they're not just scars, they're open wounds of sin all over the world and in every person's life. So how do we as Christians who ourselves groan and ourselves bear burdens and ourselves are in pain at times, how do we have the victory in this world that is groaning and travailing in pain? And Paul says, we who are born again children of God, we are sustained or we are saved by our hope. Now, he says this hope is not visible, but it is veritable. You can't see it, but it's there. This hope is not something that is a maybe, but it is something that God has promised to us and we are waiting patiently for it. We don't have it yet. It's not in our hands at this time. We haven't yet achieved the redemption of our bodies to the point where we are glorified like Jesus Christ and in His presence and never get the sniffles again and never get a sore throat again and never get the flu again and never have to deal with cancer again and never have to go to the doctors again. That day is coming, but it's not yet here. And so we wait patiently for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ, that not only are my sins forgiven, but one day I'm going to be in His presence forever, and that hope sustains us. It's the blessed hope. Now, hope is a powerful, sustaining force in life. If you take away a person's hope, they'll die. I mentioned Wednesday, and I don't mention books that I'm reading very often. I read all the time. You know, a person who doesn't read has no benefit over someone who can't read. And I read all the time, always reading something. And right now I'm reading a book by Viktor Frankl, a survivor of the Holocaust, and it's entitled Man's Search for Meaning. It's been published, millions of copies have gone around the world in many different languages. He was a Holocaust survivor. who spent time in Auschwitz, Dachau, and other places. And he was a doctor, just a doctor, thrown in the Holocaust, in extermination camps, worked. They were going to work him until he died. That was his only future, was to work until he died. He had no reason to believe that he had any other purpose in life except to bear his sufferings and to live out his life as long as he could, with a very, very tiny hope of ever being released from his sufferings in the extermination camps. He said that the prisoner who lost faith in the future was doomed. The prisoner who lost faith in his own future was doomed. He told the story of a prisoner who in 1945 had a dream, February 1945. And he confided in Viktor Frankl his dream that a voice came to him asking him, if you wanted to know you can know anything you want to know, what would you like to know? And the man said, I would like to know when the war will be over for me. In other words, when will my suffering be over? When will I be released from this? When will the war be over for me? And the voice said to him in his dream, March 30th, 1945. So he had that dream in early February. That gave him some hope. Throughout the month of February, he had renewed health and renewed confidence. But then as March rolled around, the first 2 weeks of March passed, and then they started hearing news from the battlefront, not to expect anything because the Allies were nowhere near and there was no telling when the war would be over. And as he got closer and closer to March 30th, his hope dwindled down to, on the 28th, he got sick. On the 29th and 30th, he became delirious and lost consciousness. And on March 31st, he died. And Dr. Frankl said that to all outward appearances, he died of sickness, died of typhus. But the ultimate cause of his death was not typhus, but hopelessness. See, his dream became a self-fulfilling prophecy. And as March 30th got closer, the one thing he had pinned all of his hopes on, March 30th, when he realized there was no way he was going to be released on March 30th, he lost all hope. And when his hope fell, his body lost its immunity to sickness. He lost consciousness and he died on the very day he thought he would be liberated. Now, if you know World War II history, you know that almost all of the death camps were liberated in April or May of 1945. Had he lived a few more weeks, he might have been among those who were liberated. But because he lost his hope, he had no reason to live. His body gave up and he died. You see, the sustaining power, the sustaining force of hope. Now, let me say to you this morning that the Christian, the born-again Christian of all people, should never lose hope. The born-again Christian of all people on earth should never give up hope. I don't know, but that years from now, you may be facing some situation and your hope is all gone. I hope that my voice echoes through your mind and reminds you the Christian should always have hope. The Christian should always have hope. The Christian should never give up hope as long as there is a God in heaven who is his heavenly Father and the Holy Spirit inside of him is there forever. You should never, ever, ever give up hope. Now, what is the hope? What is hope to the Christian? Not what is the hope of the Christian, but what is hope to the Christian? Let me give you five things this morning. Number one, hope is the anchor of the soul. If you want to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 6, I want you to see a passage, or you can just read it or listen as I read it aloud. In Hebrews 6, we have a passage that Peter may have been referring to when he said that Paul wrote some things hard to understand. Some of the wording may seem a little difficult to understand. In fact, some take this passage and teach that you can lose your salvation, when actually it's teaching the exact opposite, that there's no way you can lose your salvation. But in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17... Hebrews 6:17 It says, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation which have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope. See that the hope set before us. Now, Paul said here, two immutable things. What are the two immutable? Now, immutable means it cannot mutate or change. It's something that is, it is set in eternal concrete. It can never vary. It can never change. It is something that is permanent for all time. What are the two immutable things in this passage? Number one, that God cannot lie. Aren't you glad God can't lie to you? The best of people can lie to you. Angels could lie to you. But God cannot lie to you. Fallen angels could lie to you. God cannot lie to you. And that's never going to change. Amen. And the second thing is that that God who made it, who cannot lie, made you a promise. And that promise cannot change. And so he says, because we have the fact that God cannot lie and that God has made us a promise and confirmed it with an oath by his own promise, we have a hope set before us, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So God's promise of eternal life to those who believe in Jesus is a hope that is an anchor for the soul. It is sure and steadfast. It is grounded on God's eternal nature and God's eternal promise, and it cannot ever change. Amen? Now listen, all of us at some time or another have wondered, am I really still saved? Have I lost what God gave me? You know, there are those religions out there who teach that of course you cannot know for sure. Of course you cannot say you're saved forever. You've got to wait until you're dead and then find out. Well, brother, when you're dead, it's too late to change anything. I don't want to wait till I'm dead when God has, by His own unchanging nature, has given me an unchanging promise which will last forever and is anchored in Jesus Christ. So a person might say, well, am I still saved? I've messed up again. Well, is God still unable to lie? Has God still given you a promise? Doesn't the Bible say this is the promise He has given us, even eternal life? Didn't Jesus say, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life? Didn't Jesus say, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand? Amen. And so I have the comfort of knowing that once I am saved forever. Born again. And once I'm God's child, I will never cease to be God's child. Now the winds and waves of this world and situations in our life can knock us all over the place, but something holds me fast to the knowledge that I'm always God's child, and that is the anchor of my soul, which is my hope in Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Well, thank God for that, folks. There are millions of people going to church this morning, and all they're going to leave thinking, man, I better hang on for the next week, or I'm lost. And I'm leaving church this morning saying, brother, I'm held up. I'm going to live for Jesus because I'm held, not so I can hold on. Thank God for the hope that is set before us. Well, let me give you a second thing in Romans chapter 4. What is hope to the Christian? It's the anchor of the soul. And in Romans chapter 4, hope is my amen to God's promise. Hope is my amen to God's promise. In Romans chapter 4, verse 17. Romans 4, 17. All right, if you're there, say amen. Amen. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, speaking to Abraham, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Now, God had promised Abraham a son when he was probably 75, and he waited patiently. And God didn't give him a son through Sarah until she was 90 and he was 100. And God came to Abraham and said, "You're going to have a son." And you know what Abraham did? He laughed. So did Sarah. That's why Isaac means laughter. Reminder that they laughed. But you know what? Abraham laughed, but he didn't stagger. Put those two passages together. He laughed, you'd have laughed too, or passed out. I saw the Abshires yesterday. Brother Absher is what, 44? 44. And of course, Mrs. Absher has little Sadie, tiny little baby. And we were talking, he said, I'm going to be, 62 when my daughter, when Sadie graduates from high school. And I said, "Brother, I'm going to be 46 when I have an empty nest." He said, "Man, that's where I'm starting." Of course, he has one who's 14, right? In 13. And now a newborn. But that's not that unusual. People in their 40s, you don't say that's totally outside the range of possibility. Of course, obviously not. Even older than that sometimes. But man, when you're 100, when you're 90, you're not expecting that. Even if God did promise you, you're still not expecting that, perhaps. But Abraham laughed, but he didn't stagger. God said, "You're going to have a son of Sarah." But he didn't stagger back. No way. And against hope, he believed in hope. You know what hope is for the Christian? Hope is my amen to God's promise. You know what Abraham did? He laughed, but then he said, "You know what? If God promised this, amen. Amen." I don't see how, but I am fully persuaded that what God has promised, He is able to perform. I don't see how. Sarah doesn't see how. No one else is going to see how. I laugh, but I'm not going to stagger. Hope is my amen to God's promise. And folks, when God makes us promises, when I have hope, it expresses my willingness to wait patiently. You don't wait patiently unless you believe it's coming. Right? I order something in the mail. I live out in the country. I ordered something a while back. Should have come within 4 to 6 weeks. It still hadn't come. I think it's been about 8 weeks. I know it's coming sooner or later. I've ordered it. Amen? It's got to come. Brother Parks will make sure that it comes. All those fine postal workers. Just hadn't come yet. I have faith it's going to come. God has made me a promise. Amen? Hope is my amen that I can't see what God has promised me yet, but I believe that it's going to happen. Well, hope is my amen. Hope is the anchor of the soul. And then in Romans 5, since you're already there, Romans 5 and verse 3. Hope is the abundance of life experience. Hope is the abundance of life experience. In Romans 5, verse 3, it says, "Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, but because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." Now, here is a process you can't skip steps on. Okay? God says that trouble or tribulation produces patience. You've got to endure trouble to become patient. If you fly off the handle every time, you're never going to develop patience. You've got to endure tribulation and trouble to develop that endurance or that patience. Patience brings experience. I've been through this. So I now have experience. And experience gives what? Hope. Experience gives hope. Now, in other words, if you tough out tough times and see God work in your life through those tough times, and you see Bible promises fulfilled, and you see God provide, and you see God work, and you haven't quit, and you haven't given up, and you didn't backslide, and you didn't fall out on God, and you didn't decide to start disobeying God because things got hard, when you get through to the other side, you have patience, and then you have experience, and then you have hope. It's like the lady's Bible as she passed away, and her children came and found her Bible. And it was all wore out. And that's one reason why I think you ought to all have a Bible. Amen? I don't think it's wrong to read your Bible on your phone or on your tablet. Certainly some of you need that for the large print and stuff. But, man, I think everyone ought to have a Bible you can leave to your kids one day. Just think about that. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying think about it. What are you going to pass on to your kids? Pass on a Bible that's all wore out and stained and got marks in it and stuff. Anyway, her kids found her Bible and it was all underlined and highlighted and had stains from her fingers and tear stains. And then after many of the verses, it had just two letters scribbled in the margin. FT. And the kids didn't understand what it meant, and so the pastor was there, and they said, what is this FT in the margin of my mom's Bible? And he said, oh, she told me once that every time she went through something and God proved himself, she wrote PT, or proven true, in the margin of her Bible. And her Bible was full of verses that had proven true next to it. You see, you get that by experience. You can't criticize someone if they haven't had experience. You can't get all impatient with younger folks because they haven't had the same experience as you've had. Amen? Only one way to get experience, and that's to live. And you go through stuff, and after you've gone through it, you get experience, and experience should give you hope. Out of the abundance of those experiences comes hope. God helped me before, and He'll help me again. God provided for me before. I got through this before. I can do it again with God's help. You see, we've got to learn to live by faith, which even means living by faith during difficulties. Now, when I was a younger person, I was trying to live by faith, and sometimes problems would come up that seemed to me like huge problems, and I'd try to face them and get discouraged by them. And now, at age 40, I look back at some of those problems, and I think, man, those weren't so big or bad. You know why I can look at it with a different perspective? Experience. Y'all with me? Experience. That's why kids, that's why you ought to listen to your parents, because they definitely have one thing you don't have, and that is experience. Experience is something you can't get until you've lived. Amen? And so listen to experience. Experience can give you hope. Number four. I'll just read to you in 1 Peter 3:15. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Hope is the answer of a believer. It is the answer of a believer. Be always ready to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that's in you. Now, Peter wrote to Christians who were suffering persecution for their faith. And he encouraged them to glorify God in their persecution. Let the world see you suffer for Christ's sake in a way that they wonder, how in the world can you go through this? What is the reason for the hope that you have? And be able to give an answer. I have hope. My hope is Christ in me, the hope of glory. That God has promised me eternal life. It is the anchor of my soul. It is my answer to the unbeliever. What is different about you? How can you handle these things? How can you suffer these things? And what is the answer for what is inside of you? Well, it's the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. That this world is not my home. And this life is just temporary. But I have eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hope is the answer. That's how... And by the way, do you have an obvious hope? Does anyone see in you a hope that sustains you? Well, reading that book by Viktor Frankl, he described how many times those who were without hope, he would try to draw enough strength from himself to try to encourage them. He said one of the things he first promised himself was, I will not run into the wire. That electrified wire all around the camp, and many prisoners would just give up hope, and they'd run and they'd grab a hold of the wire and electrocute themselves. But I wonder sometimes if we have an obvious hope that others can see and others can draw from. Folks, there are around us, even in this land of plenty, there is so much discouragement and depression. And many teenagers even think about killing themselves because they see no hope for the future. Do they see in us a hope? And can we give them an answer that this is the anchor of our soul? And this is my amen to God's promise. And this is the abundance of my life experience. And this is what God has promised me. This is the answer for what is inside of me, is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ and His promises. Well, one final thought, and that is that hope is the armor for the inner man. 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. A helmet, the hope of salvation. You know, your inner man needs to be protected. You've got to have on the armor of God. And part of that is the helmet that covers your mind. And that is the hope of salvation. How do you keep your mind from going crazy in this world? You have the hope of salvation. It is the defense you have over a troubled mind. A lot of folks, their minds are troubled. I don't mean they're crazy. I just mean they're anxious, they're worried, they're troubled about things. They don't really have confidence in things. They're worried about tomorrow, they're worried about yesterday. What can protect my mind? The hope of my salvation. The hope of my salvation. That God loves me, that Jesus Christ died for me, that I'm saved, that heaven is my home, and that God is going to provide for me. That gives peace to troubled minds. It's armor for the inner man. What do you think about? Is your mind filled with problems or the solution? Is your mind filled with anxiety, or are you careful for nothing because you're praying and asking God? Hope is armor for the inner man. Our hope is found in Christ alone. He is in you, the hope of glory. The Christian should never, ever, ever lose hope. Hope will sustain you. How can you bury a loved one without the hope that you're going to see them again? How can you face sickness knowing that you're going to die from it unless you have the hope that it's just a temporary thing because you're going to wake up in heaven? How can you say goodbye to people you're never going to see again without the hope we have in Jesus Christ?